Just to remind ourselves of what we shared last week in the readings. Being offered the Our Father prayer, we came to the conclusion that by the grace of divine adoption, all of us are members of God's family. And so, the model prayer offered to us, Jesus calls on us to address our needs and petitions before God, saying, Our Father. Yes, we belong to that divine family, and we participate in that divine life. As members of divine family, there is a pattern of life designed for us. And therefore, we cannot live our life anyhow as we want it, but we live in accordance with the will of God and what He has ordained for His sons and daughters. Beloved, today we are being called upon to follow that pattern of life. For life without God is empty and meaningless. Beloved, in his confession, Saint Augustine offered a humble prayer when he said, O God, you created us for yourself, and that our souls are restless until they rest in you. Yes, God, having created us in his own image and likeness, created us for himself. And that life becomes fulfilled only when it is lived in God and it is lived for God. Life without God is empty and meaningless, unfulfilled life. Beloved, today, Kohelet invites all of us to reflect on the vanity of a life lived without God. Today's text, Kohelet bemoans a fact of life, that everything that one acquires in life at his death will pass on to a successor. But that which is the most uncertain is that one cannot tell who will be that heir of all his achievements, possessions, and belongings. Whether his belongings will fall in the hand of a worldly person who will acknowledge his effort and lived to keep forever his memory in life. Or his belongings will fall in the hand of an unworthy person who may not cherish his memories and may not keep his belongings in a lasting memory of the one who achieved them, but rather will end up and squander everything. Thus, to Kohelet, it's a life of vanity. It is a painful truth which is difficult to accept. And that which is more painful is that which is certain to all of us, that no matter how long one lives in this earthly life, death will force us to separate from our material possessions and comforts. That a day will come, we shall leave behind everything that we have toiled throughout our lifetime to achieve. This one is certain, but whoever becomes your heir is not certain. For Kohelet, such is the vanity of life. My dear people of God, in the opening verses of chapter 2 of his book, Kohelet reports on his own experiment with pressure. And he comes out with the conclusion that in the pursuit of material wealth, in the pursuit of sensual happiness and delight, the more he gave his life to these things, the more he indulged in them, the more sadness and sorrow that he experienced within his heart. And that he teaches with that life experience, that once indulgence in earthly materials does not bring him the key to true happiness of life, but rather brings more pain and dissatisfaction. And that being the case for him, it is a life lived without God. And therefore, anyone who lives to seek happiness is either directly or indirectly seeking God himself. For it is in him alone is found true happiness of life. And so life lived without God is full of suffering, is full of pain. It becomes unfulfilled life, which is not worth living. For one to be happy in life, one must seek God and live his life in relation to him alone. It's only at that one attains the true happiness of life. And so today he shares with us, life is full of vanity if that life is lived without God, the Creator. And he calls on us, if you give your heart to earthly things and material wealth and comfort, a day will come, you part ways with them. What will your soul be? And therefore, we need to seek God whilst we are alive. In the midst of our possessions, we should learn how to live a life of detachment and a life of total dependence on God, that we can also inherit the true joy in him. Beloved in Christ, in our gospel reading today, we find Jesus being interrupted in his teaching discourse when he is speaking of matters of the spirit. A distracted man, one whose heart is filled with greed and covetousness, comes to him with a request that Jesus would arbitrate a fraternal dispute over inheritance. Beloved, the request is addressed to Jesus in the sense that the rabbis were often asked to arbitrate family disputes. And so Jesus, being the Son of God, is even more than qualified and has the authority to offer that arbitration sought by the young man. However, Jesus, discerning the evil intent behind this request, said to him, "My friend, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" Then turning to the crowd, he warned them, "Be careful and guard against every form of greed and covetousness. For a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possession." And he went on to tell a parable to bring home his message. Beloved, in this passage, Jesus raises two basic issues for our contemplation and meditation. The first one has to do with the evil and sin of covetousness, greed. In biblical sense, the sin of covetousness is that inordinate desire for the things that belong to another person. Or broadly put, that sinful and excessive desire for things. Given this meaning, two implications can be drawn from the act of this man who came to Jesus with a request that he arbitrate over inheritance dispute. One, either this man has no rightful possession of the inheritance, or he has more than enough, but for his inordinate desire for more things, he's craving and taking that which belongs to his poor brother. And that is what Jesus warns against, that we should be content with what we have. Beloved in Christ, the sin and evil of covetousness is always informed by a sense of discontentment, jealousy, and envy. And that leads one to either by fair or foul means to acquire that which does not belong to him. And this is the situation of the young man who came to Jesus. And so this man becomes a self-centered person. As I read the gospel reading, I could count not less than 6 times the use of the first singular pronoun, I. Everything is about himself. It's a life that is lived without recourse to God. It's all about himself. And for that reason, he does not even see the possibility of sharing his wealth with another person. What shall I do? I know what I can do. You have enough, my soul. Just take it easy. Eat and rest. You have so many years ahead of you. And Jesus said to him, "You fool. This very night, your life will be required of you." Beloved, that brings us to the second lesson of the illusion of material possessions. When we become so much obsessed by material possessions, we seek for security in them. And this illusion is created by material wealth. We imagine that we can have control over our life. But Jesus tells us, we do not have control over life. Life belongs to the Creator, and he decides at will. And so this man, who thought that with his many possessions, he had security and that he could control his life, the parable ends with a lesson that your life will be taken away from you. My dear people of God, yes, life does not belong to us. God has given to us as his gift, and we have to live that life in relation to him. Outside him, that life becomes meaningless. And today we are being cautioned against the spirit and evil of covetousness, the sin of greed. Many of us are victims of impulse buying. Anything we see, we buy, only to come home to know that we have no need of them. My question is that if you take time to reflect on the many things that you have, clothing or whatever, for some of us, by the close of the year, there are so many clothing that you have never worn in the course of the year. That cloth tells you that, please, my dear mom, please, my dear dad, please, my dear friend, you do not need me. They are excessive possessions. We need to let them go. There are many who are naked. And Jesus tells us in the works of mercy, I was naked and you clothed me. There are many who are hungry. We buy things that we do not eat them, only for us to throw them away. They go waste. Can we not feed the hungry so that we can have access to that eternal life? Beloved, Paul's sharing with us the effect of our baptism calls on us to set our hearts on the things of heaven and not the things of the earth. By virtue of our baptism, we have died with Christ and have risen with him, and we have become new creation. And being new creation, our hearts must be set on the life of God. And this is what we've been invited today to reflect on. Life lived without God is empty, meaningless. It is an unfulfilled life. We pray that the Lord who has called us into his presence would give us the grace to discern the true worth of material possessions, that as we share them, we detach ourselves from them in order to gain entrance into a life of eternity. May God bless us in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.